You didn't really think about it.
I thought, my God, I'm dead.
No, I knew it wasn't.
And you knew it wasn't.
But it was with humor. You knew it was.
No humor either.
Ah, you see, you had a particular experience between the onlooker who slays the real. Ego slays the real. Ego is the slayer of the real. Ego is the one that destroys capital E, capital G, capital O. It is that part of you that deprives you from God realization. E-G-O, looking for the false beat again. Trying to relate to it back after you miss it. That destroys the reality of you. That is why you can't stay in God's realization. Only those who don't use E-G-O to destroy the reality of the non-association and deprivation of the sensory stimuli to relate to life. Only those know the truth and can say in one voice, no man take my life from me. I have the power to put it down, pick it up again. They know without all doubt that EGO don't run their mechanism. Capital E, capital G, capital O is doing it all. The whole universe is run by capital E, capital G, capital O. It's like a blackboard, and the writing is on the blackboard. But anything that is important about that writing, we forget about the blackboard. We're too involved with the writing on the blackboard. We're always involved with the onlooker, but not the comprehender. The comprehender is not judging. When you try to comprehend where you were or what happened to you, what happened? In that brief moment when you lost the false beat. You see how close you came to God realization and how far you went from it. And every split second you're there, and every split second you're away from it. God is ever so close and yet ever so far from all of us. We will search for gods outside of ourselves, but we will never understand the God side of ourselves. Because he doesn't want any graven image or any type of goodness before him, the real. Any type of generation from EGO as to what you are, where you are, and how you are, does not work. It's capital E, capital G, capital O. Yet we're all very, very close. You can actually put your finger in it, and yet somehow you can't seem to grasp it. When you sit down to meditate, think where you are. See how deep you are inside of yourself, and then realize why you're not there. Why EGO keeps you away from capital EGO. Why it keeps you away from capital E, capital G, capital O. Anytime you hear somebody performing any fourth dimensional ability, you have to break EGO to enter capital E, capital G, capital O. Because only in that moment you can live and die in the Lord. EGO dies. Capital E, capital G, capital O takes over. There's a vast difference between EGO and capital E, capital G, capital O. Brainwashing, hypnosis, auto-suggestion, psychiatry, every form of designed by man, all founded in EGO. But God made one therapy like He made one way wheat by the way they grow. He always used one method. He always used 3-4. Everything He does, He put one and then He put the exception to the one. Thus you try to reduce it to a rule. He gave you an image process. That's why it's called image therapy. The image you make of yourself is what heals you or keep you always in pain. EGO, here's what I'm saying. Capital E, capital G, capital O, is putting it together and trying to make something out of it. And EGO will try to tell me what it thinks capital E, capital G, capital O did with it. The reason we don't seem to have the contact with it, that is a capital E, capital D, capital O, Satpurush, or pure self, Brahma, because EGO controls us up to the fourth realm. It takes a human being who has submerged his EGO, his capital E, capital G, capital O, which is that brief moment you felt you were lost in some unknown region, and you tried to identify with the pulse beat, the brain and the pulse beat to touch. The sensation of touch is the closest you'll ever come to pinpointing where you are in time and space. And the anguish of not having any sensation of touch or stimuli, the deprivation, the separateness. When you're aware of this separateness, the stimuli that goes on within you, between EGO and capital E, capital G, capital O, between the onlooker and the comprehender. Non-relationship with your five senses. You can't seem to relate with your five senses. You touch your wrist, you felt the pulse beat, your brain synchronized to tell you you're touching. And then all of a sudden your brain didn't tell you there was anything to touch. And then your brain didn't tell you there's anything to touch. And there was nothing coming through for you to recognize. Then the onlooker in you began to panic. Right? Observe how quick we will panic from inside. And it shows us how weak and how undeveloped we are. Spiritual development is not based upon how much we can spout the scripture. Neither is it based upon performing miracles. It's based on this relationship between EGO and capital E, capital G, capital O. How to merge. Because it deals with that condition called death, the last enemy. Deprivation of sensory stimuli. Meditation duplicates sleep at one level. Where you dream. But you are the dreamer. In sleep, you are not the dreamer. you are dreaming true. Something dreams through you. So don't you think you are dreaming? Capital E, capital G, capital O gives you a little play on the date in the form of a dream. And EGO thinks it dreamt. And wakes up and says, I dreamt. I who dreamt. Where are these images kept? Not in EGO. They are kept in capital E, capital G, capital O. And when the sensory motor functions are shut down, that means you're deprived of stimuli from outside, then a little part of that energy is released to EGO to have an image replayed. Then when we begin to tabulate these images in order to make some semblance of understanding to tell ourselves we are having some information, EGO begins to make something out of it. The images are only coming back to satisfy EGO. Then EGO is constantly kept fed in this flux, in this unreal state, which continues to destroy the real. EGO is inflated now. That's where the inflation of EGO begins. Not in the outside world, somebody says that man has an inflated ego because he's bombastic or so forth. The inflated ego is the flooding of images inside that gives him what is called a collection of dreams, which he has no control over. The dreams that tends to inflate him, pump him up. This EGO, this particular function, is the slayer of the real, because it can't relate to the real nature. It is hanging on to every stimuli to inflate it, to make it important inside. Therefore it dreams and craves for dreams to reinforce it. Then when it leaves sleep, it tries meditation. And the sleep again allows it to drift away from centering into a dream. So those who say they are going down into levels are dreaming too. Because they have to create an image where they're going. They have to create their laboratory. So they are also in the EGO. And those who are hypnotizing have to create an image. And those who are brainwashing have to create an image. And it's all in the EGO. And those who are trying to dig out the dreams, to put them together, polish them, or wash them, or do something with it, or laundry the whole thing, it's all in the EGO. We are never going to remove these conditions by attacking them as conditions in the brain. They will always feed the imbalance, which is pain in the body. It will always continue to grow and fester and continue to concretize themselves in the EGO nature, because they are all the product of the EGO nature. The EGO nature gave birth to them by craving them to be released from the capital E, capital G, capital O nature. So when we meditate, we are trying not to bring back the memory patterns of drifting around into nihilistic states or into levels where we fall away from the center of being. You want to be ever conscious of where you are, even if you don't feel anything, see anything, hear anything, smell anything, touch anything. You want to be conscious. You want to be there. That's the real. You want to be here and now. It is in that state, capital E, capital G, capital O in you is making a physical change. When you come out, that physical change will be obvious to you, that the cells themselves would carry the state of peace. This is the elation, this is the ecstasy that many people experience by spiritual healing, instantaneous or otherwise, and don't know how it happened. And give credit to some unseen being in some remote region for its results. It is not that the unseen being does not exist. Capital E, capital G, capital O does exist. It's the real. It's the you of you. But the you of you have to experience an EGO gave in to it. An EGO ceased to interfere or impede the flow of the energy in it. That EGO is the one that's got to release in order to recognize capital E, capital G, capital O. So it takes a long time for us ever to break that in meditation. The mantra is an aid to prevent the mind from wandering. But more than a mantra is the presence. No one can make it by himself. That's one of the problems of meditation. You never hear of anybody who meditated and made it by himself. You have just one or two, again, exceptions to the rule. In the history of man, there will always be an exception to the rule that come out with that peculiar phenomenon of transcending. 99.99% of us only make it by grace. Calming the mind and learning to live from within is slow, gradual. Don't rush it. Let it happen. Remember that your EGO will pull a lot of tricks on you and make you fall down. And you're going to use your EGO to evade the consequences of your EGO. You see, you know now where you are in your spiritual growth. So when you hear of someone who is fully realized, you know he really made a big battle. And the big battle, and the last challenge of the big battle, is involved with breath. Anyone who has jumped from EGO to capital E, capital G, capital O, had to have a fantastic ability to breathe. The ability to breathe is involved in the ability not to breathe. Sounds very, very paradoxical. In the ability not to breathe is like in the ability to eat. In order to live, not to eat. The both laws are there. We die by eating all the food we were supposed to eat, or we live by not eating all the food you're supposed to eat. We die by breathing all the breaths we're supposed to breathe, or by not breathing all the breaths we're supposed to breathe, we will live. And it goes through emotion. We die doing all the motions in the body, or we live by not doing all the motions in the body. In the nutrition, we have one road, the weight road. In meditation, we have one road. Learning to come to grips with capital E, capital G, capital O, via the internal breath. The sound currents that go on inside of us, how we can hear it from the meditational practice, the daily practice of the meditation and listening to it, that high-pitched current, more and more as you listen to it and become merged in it, one day it will give you the strength to have the one respiratory act called the breath of life that breaks the gap between EGO and capital E, capital G, capital O. And then you will have really merged in that state. Just as much as a person who eats to live and live not to eat, by eating through the growth pattern and gradually working from solids to puree to liquid to gas, to pure vibration. And one day you will make that big breath that will switch off in the medulla, the hypothalamus, and you find yourself drawing energy like a plant. Through the back of your head. In both cases, there is a respiratory act involved. In the motion, we're not going to be protected. But one day, you'll take that big breath, and then you'll know the difference between reincarnation and resurrection.
Tana, would you call the sound current energy?
What would you call it? Audible life stream, therefore it is conscious energy. It's audible and it's life, it's a stream. Therefore it's conscious and it's energy. God is power, but he's a conscious power. And he is capital D, capital G, capital O. The only I am there is. Every other I am, which is us, the onlookers, the creation, we are the slayer of the real in ourselves. The game is going on inside of ourselves. Our little ego constantly slays or separates or distorts the association on a conscious level with capital E, capital G, capital O. It blocks capital E, capital G, capital O from working through us. One man merely gave a clue how we can avoid this clash between EGO and capital E, capital G, capital O by saying, let go, let God, or let ego work. Let go of EGO, let go of the onlooker in you, and let the comprehender in you function totally through you. That's another way of saying it. You are more familiar with your nature, with the term the onlooker in you and the comprehender in you. The comprehender in you is the one that makes you feel stupid. And the onlooker in you is the one that makes it seem important to yourself. Are you familiar with that feeling? Good. But that's where it's at. The onlooker in you is always thinking it as the important part. It knows it. The comprehender in you is the one that makes you feel very, very unimportant, very non-value, very incompetent. It makes you realize that you're a creation and not a creator. And the onlooker in you is the one who's busy boosting you up with the idea you are the creator. But you see, it's the two poles of the one energy. You can't have a creation without a creator. And you can't have a continuity if both forces did not act in the same vessel. This candle has two ends to the onlooker. To the comprehender, how many ends?
One.
No end. There's only one. Do you onlooker still looking for one? There is no end to the candle. The onlooker sees two, and the onlooker debates with itself from the question that there is one end. But in the comprehender, there is no end, because there is no two either. There are no ends in the onlooker, in the comprehender. Because where are you going to push the end into? If you squeeze the whole thing and burn it right down, what do you have? Right? So there are no ends in the comprehender. The comprehender is the dot, like in the middle of a circle. Get the idea? The comprehender generates this marvelous condition. But the onlooker sets up the whole illusion. Maya, or illusion, or creation, Mother Nature, is the onlooker. That's Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. That's all locked up in EGO. But Brahma, that Purush, capital E, capital G, capital O, the comprehender. There's nothing here for him. There are only a few moments you're ever going to recognize Brahman. There are a few moments whenever you come close to him, because most of the time we are all worshipping Brahma, EGO, the creator. One time when you don't worship Brahma, the creator, is when you fall asleep and don't dream. When you meditate and you don't generate dreams in your meditation, it's called Turiya sleep, the sleep of the dreamless state. And when you die and you don't have desires, these are the only three times that you come close to Brahman. Now the sages tell us, sleep is not a practical state. Imitating sleep in meditation also is not a practical state. And dying is not a practical state. There is a fourth state that is the razor's edge. They call it the path. That fourth state, or the fourth way, everybody heard of the book called The Fourth Way? By ourselves, we're trying to describe what the fourth way is, the path. Simply means this, that the fourth way is the art of how to die on a conscious level, every second. Then you're always the Brahman, not Brahman. You're always in the comprehending state and not in the onlooker state of your nature. So Paul puts it another way. I live and die daily in the Lord, I rebuke you in rejoicing, for I live and die daily in the Lord. That means every second, shutting down the unreal for the real. And Jesus really put it another way, you see me, you see the Father, I and the Father are one. The yogis all say, we start off coming down from Soham, which is the I am state, and returned by the Hong Sa state, that's the reverse state, Hong So or Soham. You go back from He to I, or you come down from I to He. The word is I am He. I am He. But the He or the soul is in the throat. And it's the mouth that betrays us out. God is busy trying to tell the world outside, I, E-G-O. And that's so. And this is when we let go of the ego or the I from the throat nature, that's where the thyroid is, that's where your willpower is, will center. Those who are familiar with the chakras or endocrine glands, the will center is in the throat. So what do you do? My will be done or thy will be done? Alright. So the cervical center in man does a great deal to make him a stiff-necked individual. That is why the creative intelligence in all the scriptures always calls man who digressed from the real and remained in the unreal as a stiff-necked individual. You don't know why you're called a stiff-necked individual. You're called a stiff-necked individual because you're stuck in the throat with the soul. The I, never breaking away back to the heat, never merging with the capital E, capital G, capital O. So you're stuck there. It's when you come to grips with the reality of what is happening inside between the comprehender and the onlooker in you, that you'll see that the onlooker in you is leading you a ring through your nose. And the comprehender does not pass judgment on your behavior. But unto the Son is given the power to judge. Something inside of you is judging you, though. There's another part of your nature that is judging you. That part which is not the comprehender, and that part which is not the onlooker. We all have a part in us that is passing judgment on us, but not penalizing us. We are penalized by our own selves through the law of cause and effect. We are judged by Junior. Now heard that one. Big Daddy Junior Spooky. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now you know who's spooky. We are all going to be judged by the Master Consciousness, which is the intuitive level in us. The Christ level in man, or the intuitive self in man. That's the true judge. That's the one that separates the goat from the sheep. That separates the unreal desire nature of EGO from the real desires of capital E, capital G, capital O. That intuitive nature is the separator, the sorter out, that gives you the reality. What you are. The basic disciplines that we find around us are the rules of the game and how to live with the law of cause and effect. And it's the intuitive part in you that is going to call into force the law of grace or the law do it to ourselves, nobody else. Nobody else does it to us. We can't blame any God or cause for punishing us. We can't say that we had a rotten deal when we born with one arm, or minus a leg, or all the other things that happen around us. You know, we hear and these people say, how can a God be so good and allow these things to happen? Those individuals are living in their EGO and have no comprehension of chapter B, chapter G, chapter O. Only in meditation you are coming to grips with the reality of these levels of your nature. And not sitting down and drifting away into nebulous regions. It's coming to grips with the reality that there is a link between the pulse beat and the brain beat. And there is a sensation that occurs that tends to separate you from the pulse beat to the brain beat. And that sensation can be very, very, very traumatic because you can panic. So people often hear, don't meditate, don't practice meditation, without a teacher. These are all fairy tales. Meditation is to make you realize that you have to master death. And once you know the rules of the game, you can play it. But if you don't know the rules of the game, you'll speculate about it. And then you can build up all kinds of propaganda, what not to do with it. There is nothing more realistic than the physiology of your body. You can't be more dead and dead when you're dead. Just as much you can't be further away from panic between brain stimulation and brain deprivation. And you can't be any closer to the devil than you are when you judge yourself. You can't be more possessed and be exercised than when you're busy dreaming up your dreams by EGO. So nobody possesses you, nobody obsesses you, and nobody's going to exercise you. But you see, we don't want facts. We love the fiction. We love the mysterious. The reality of being a healthy mind in a healthy body is not so enjoyable, no fun in it. We love to be sick. We love to be pitied. We love to be cuddled and told we are happy people. Because we are sick people. We want people to love us because we are sick. But you see what the EGO is doing to you? It doesn't want to free you. EGO is your true slave master. You are not made a slave by craving. You are enslaved by EGO, by allowing you to enjoy craving. That's the whole gimmick about it. That's how you're made a slave. If you don't enjoy EGO, you can't be made a slave. Once you break free from it, then you have control. So don't say to yourself that you're going to cut out your ego, you're going to destroy it or bury it in some corner, because that's not possible. But you can transcend it. That means you can work around it. I think we gotta go to bed and get up early. Get the meditation at 5:30 in the morning. Keep that inner consciousness communing with each other. Because here is where you put EGO to sleep. and allow capital P, capital G, capital O to work for you. The internal unity of all life can be experienced when we go to bed. Not to dream the dreams that we can't control, but to dream the dream that we are in control. To always be in that position, no man take my life from me. I have the power to put it down, pick up. That's the ability to dream the dream of control.
There's some people here who haven't been assigned a place to sleep. Would you hold up your hands? How many men are there that haven't been?
Somebody we're going to work on at the lumbar region. We're going to go back to it. So, the note is me. Let's get them in the actual alphabetical letters. You want to give it them? How are you?
E.
E for what?
No,
it's C. No, it's
C.
D.
D.
E. Me is E. Now, what is a C sharp?
C sharp is half step above C.
Can you play C sharp on your... There's a reason I want to establish C sharp.
Seven times?
No, just get it once. Play it seven times so we can establish it. So that it can resonate in the room. Okay, now play C. Which one makes you sick?
C-sharp.
C-sharp makes you sick, right? Because it... Which one made you feel uneasy? You want to play it again, Robert? C-sharp. Now play C. Now which one gives you the uneasy feeling? The C sharp, because it's resonating directly on the adrenals all the time. Right. C sharp is always in the atmosphere around you. Therefore you have what is called